Don't know whether you know this or not, but we are 3 days away from the 55th anniversary of the first airing of Charlie Brown's Christmas on television. December the 9th, 1955, CBS first aired that show. I got to say that I wouldn't be all that surprised if over the years I have seen the show close to 55 times. In grade 7, I even played the part of Charlie Brown in our school play. What do you think about most when you think of Charlie Brown's Christmas? Maybe you think of Snoopy's decorated doghouse, or perhaps Charlie Brown's sad little tree, or perhaps all the kids singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing at the very end, and all of their mouths looking exactly the same. And yet I wouldn't be surprised if what's most memorable for many of you is the speech that Linus gave as he shared the real meaning of Christmas. Remember how things went? Charlie Brown shouts out, "Does anybody know the real meaning of Christmas?" And then Linus says, "I know, Charlie Brown." And so then he walks out onto the stage and he says, "Lights, please." The lights go down and a spotlight goes on Linus. And he says these words. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you might have even been mouthing those words along with me as I was saying them, or at least those words were going through your head. Those words from Luke's gospel are what many of us think about when we think about Christmas. We think about a manger in a stable. We think of angels and a star in the sky. We think of shepherds getting great news and making their way towards Bethlehem. Ask a child about Christmas, the Christmas story, and many will tell you straight off, the story all started with Bethlehem, with the birth of a baby named Jesus. But if you look at our gospel story today, the one that we heard read to us from Mark, it seems as though Mark didn't get the memo. It seems as though he's been a bit left in the dark here, because his gospel story doesn't start in Bethlehem. Instead, it starts someplace else. I'd like us to spend some time with the passage today, opening ourselves up to how Mark understood things, and through those words, listening for what God might be wanting to say to us on this second Sunday of Advent. And I want to title the sermon today, "Christmas Doesn't Begin in Bethlehem." Listen once again to how Mark begins his story. "The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him.' And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness." Now, just so we get our chronology right here, I think it's important for us to remember that John and Jesus, they're contemporaries. It's not as though John comes onto the scene, prepares people for Jesus, and then everything starts to unfold in Bethlehem with baby Jesus being born in a stable. No, John and Jesus, they're contemporaries. They're roughly the same age. And yet, as Mark begins his story, which speaks of the good news of God, he starts with the preaching of John in the wilderness. There's absolutely no mention of a tiny baby in Bethlehem. No mention of angels or shepherds. No, it seems as though, as far as Mark is concerned, all that stuff is just superfluous. Details that he thought might divert people's attention from what was really important. And so he leaves those details out altogether. And you know, Mark is kind of like that. He doesn't like wasting time. He doesn't want to spend time on things that aren't all that important. He doesn't want to use anything to kind of pad his gospel with just mere words. The words he chooses, the stories he includes, are deliberate and intentional. If you were to have a read through his Jesus story, it's almost as though one thing comes right after the other. There's no time to catch your breath. Throughout his Jesus story, he uses the word immediately as one part of the story goes on to the next story. Well, at the very start of his gospel, that's also what we see. There's no elaborate introduction, no real attempt to set the scene. As far as Mark is concerned, Christmas doesn't belong, doesn't begin in Bethlehem. Instead, begins in another location. Listen once again to the words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you and who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness. Mark tells us that it all started in the wilderness. Now, I've spoken before about how the people of Israel longed for the one who would save them. That longing was deeply rooted in the depths of their being. Years before, the people had been rescued by God through Moses as he delivered them from their oppressors, from their enslavement at the hands of the Egyptians. And although it took some 40 years to get there, as we followed the story fairly recently, we discovered that eventually the people were brought to their promised land. It's a great story of deliverance. A story of God bringing salvation to his people. Now, more than 1,000 years later, the people once again needed deliverance. This time it had nothing to do with the Egyptians. As far as the people were concerned, it was deliverance from the hands of the Romans. They had longed for another leader like Moses. They had longed for another king like David. The Romans were their oppressors, and the people of Israel longed for deliverance. They'd been given a promise that God would one day rescue them. But I really don't think many would have expected it to start out in the wilderness. Now, I think they would have expected God to start putting his plan into action in the city of Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was the place where the historical king would reside. And more importantly, it was the place where God's temple was. As far as the Hebrew people would have been concerned, Jerusalem would have been a no-brainer for the story of the Messiah to begin. And yet, as far as Mark's concerned, that's not where the whole story was unfolding. Instead, it started out in the wilderness. And there really couldn't have been a more unlikely place as far as the people of Israel were concerned. If you've been with us for any length of time, you'll have heard me speak many times about the wilderness and how the people of Israel thought about the wilderness. The wilderness was the place of evil. The place where there was danger. The place that represented where God wasn't. Everything that was far from God would be seen to be like in the wilderness. It was an unsettling place. The place where evil lurked. The place of utter desolation. I've spoken before about how if ever the people were on a journey, they would do what they could to avoid having to enter the wilderness. They would rather add days to their journey than enter into that place of the unknown. I can remember when I was 19 years old and I was working at a church camp with some friends of mine, and we were leading a boys' camp. The boys were probably between the ages of 11 and 13 years old. And we decided to take them on an overnight camping trip. Now, where we went to wasn't very far from the main camp. But I got to tell you, it felt like we were in the middle of the wilderness, particularly when it was dark at night. I can remember staying up late around the fire until all the boys got settled in their tents. And then after they got all settled, I went into my tent. And it was absolute darkness. And let me tell you, when you're in the wilderness and you can't see a thing, does your mind ever start messing with you when you start hearing sounds all around you? The boys from the camp, they didn't hear. They were sound asleep, but I sure heard the sounds. And I was convinced that I was going to be mauled by some wild animal, or worse, what if there was a madman lurking out there? As far as the people of Israel were concerned, the wilderness was the place of evil, the place where demons lurked. The wilderness wouldn't have been the place people would have thought they could really meet with God. And yet, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, as far as Mark was concerned, has John the Baptist appearing in the wilderness. What was going on? Because I think it's important for us to notice here, this isn't just John the Baptist out in the wilderness. Although we do get a sense that John was, he was a bit of an eccentric. I mean, he wore camel's hair clothing and he ate a diet of locusts and wild honey. But the thing is, I think we gotta recognize that this wasn't just some kind of wild-looking, wide-eyed guy talking to himself out in the wilderness. No, instead, the wilderness was teeming with people. Listen to what it says in verse 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Now, I don't know. Maybe Mark is slightly exaggerating here. I mean, did everybody from Jerusalem go? Maybe not. But I think the point Mark's trying to make here is that it was far more than just a few that were merely curious who went out to see John. There were people heading out into the wilderness in droves. And you know, as I try to imagine the scene, as I try to envision what was going on, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if for some of these people, it was their very first time in the wilderness. I imagine that for some of those people, they'd avoided the wilderness all their lives. They would have gone anywhere but go there. And yet, here they were, out in the wilderness. While John was out there preaching and baptizing, there they were, for the very first time in their lives, making a way to the wilderness. What was it that was going on in them? Now, we could try to explain this away by just saying, well, God made them go. So they really didn't have, and they didn't really want to, but they didn't really have any choice. But I'm not so sure God works like that. I mean, does God make us do anything? I don't think that's what was going on. That's not to say that I don't believe the Spirit of God was working. Just like the Spirit of God was working at the very beginning of creation, I believe the Spirit was at work in the hearts of the people of Jerusalem and Judea when John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. But the Spirit wasn't making people do anything. Rather, the Spirit was just stirring within them. And soon it got to the point that the fears the people had related to going out to the wilderness soon became secondary to what those people hoped they might find when they got there. You see, I wonder if they were starting to realize that they needed to face their fears. But their fears weren't merely about going out into the wilderness, some kind of geographical location. Rather, I believe that they were starting to realize the wilderness wasn't as much as something out there, but something in here. The shadows were not just in some scary place out there. No, the shadows were lurking within them. I think the people were becoming more and more aware of the lack of peace within them. This venturing out into the wilderness wasn't just something to feed their curiosity. Nor was it just venturing out to find somebody who might free them from their oppressors. Mark tells us in the last part of verse 5, he says that the people were confessing their sins to John and were being baptized by him in the Jordan. Clearly, something was going on inside of the people. For years, they had lived avoiding the wilderness. Yes, avoiding a geographical location, but more importantly, avoiding the wilderness that was inside of them. Avoiding the dark places where they figured God couldn't be found. And yet, God was already in the wilderness. And God was calling out to them. You know, one of the images from Scripture that I love comes from the opening few verses of the book of Genesis. The place where we have like an artist's impression of what things were like at the very beginning. Have you ever really reflected on the words? Now, our passage this morning started out in this way. It started out by saying, in the beginning, and it starts out in the wilderness. And in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning. So Mark says, in the beginning. Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God. That's where it all started, with God. And as verse 2 of Genesis unfolds, it says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Notice that reference to darkness. And then what happens in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1? God says, let there be light. And light encounters the darkness. And the darkness no longer has dominion. In the opening verse of Mark's Jesus story, Mark quotes the prophet Isaiah. A prophet who spoke years, many years before John, about God sending a messenger to prepare the way for the Lord. And here, the prophecy was unfolding in John's message out in the wilderness. It wasn't that people had nothing better to do. It wasn't that God was making the people go out there. No, the Spirit was stirring. They were beginning to realize that there was darkness within them. Darkness that needed to be brought to the light. They were realizing that the peace that they so desperately longed for wasn't going to be realized if they weren't willing to face their fears and expose those things that they'd hidden deep within them. For years, people had assumed that darkness was all about the Romans. But that was because they weren't looking at the darkness within them. For years, they'd been determined to avoid the wilderness. But soon they were to discover that it was in the wilderness that the story begins. We call this Sunday the Sunday of peace. But for many people back then, peace was something so foreign to them. They thought it was only about peace on the outside. But in time, it began to dawn on them that even more important was experiencing peace deep within them. And so with John out in the wilderness preparing the way, I wonder if for many of them there was this sense, I need to take this opportunity. I need to deal with that which is lurking within me. I can no longer hide in the darkness. I need instead to bring it all into the light. Friends, where are you as you listen to our gospel story? What is it that God is saying to you? We like to make it seem to people around us that we've got it all together. Like to make it seem as though the darkness is so far from us. But for so many of us, so much of the time, it just seems that way because we've just done our best to keep it all hidden. Sometimes we're even afraid to take a look at it ourselves. But this time of Advent is about preparation, being ready for the return of Jesus. Jesus desperately wants to shine a light in all of our dark corners, not so that he can berate us for that darkness, but so that he can love us out of it. We need to face the lack of peace within us. We need to face our own brokenness and to bring to light the brokenness of the world around us. And as we look at that brokenness, we need to face our own complicity in perpetuating that brokenness. This isn't just about others not doing their part. It's also about us not doing ours. There are injustices that we need, that we often turn a blind eye to. There are parts in us that we just don't want others to see. And yet, this Advent, we hear a call to head out to the wilderness, that the shadows might be exposed to the light. A call to enter the wilderness, that we might truly prepare ourselves for the Lord. For Mark, a baby in a manger wasn't the real story. The real story was about God encountering people in their wilderness. It was about people facing their brokenness and the brokenness of the world and discovering that brokenness healed in the one John the Baptist was preparing them for. The real story was about light coming to the shadows. It was about peace being brought to people's souls. Mark started his gospel by saying the beginning of the good news of Jesus. Was Mark just meaning those 8 verses in our reading this morning? Was that what he was referring to as the beginning of the gospel? Or was he referring to his whole gospel? I tend to think it might be the latter. Because the story isn't finished. I believe God is looking at us this day, to see where the story will go from here. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, so often we are reluctant to venture out into the wilderness, afraid of what we might see deep within ourselves. Lord, we thank you for the call, though. And we thank you that Jesus started in the wilderness. We thank you for the light that you bring to us. We thank you that you want to love us out of the darkness. Lord, give us the courage to go to that wilderness with you, that we might be touched, that we might be healed, that we might experience your peace. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.